Омагьянатимирандхасья. Нянанджана шалака. Чакшура нилитам яна тасмай шри гурве намаха.
Gita as it is, chapter 14, text number 8, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Three modes of material nature are goodness, passion, and ignorance. The mode of goodness is much, much better than the mode of passion. And the mode of passion is much, much better than the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance is a very fallen condition. The mode of passion is also a very fallen condition. Even the mode of goodness is a fallen condition. The real position is Shuddha Sattva, beyond the modes of material nature, which is far, far better than the mode of goodness. Of course, the mode of goodness, that is much praised, because from the mode of goodness there is the possibility to come to the transcendental position. Therefore, transcendentalists are advised to act in such a way that they may come to the mode of goodness. Just like all of us, we are born in the lowest modes of nature. In Kali Yuga, particularly, everyone is born in the lowest modes of nature. Everyone is born in ignorance. But particularly in this Kali Yuga, the ignorance is very deep and dark. It means that even a child born in a very high-class Brahmin family is born in complete ignorance. But he's born into a situation due to his previous activities and desires, he's born into a situation whereby, as he grows up, he will be trained to come to a better platform, the mode of goodness. However, all of us were born into a situation in the deepest ignorance with no chance of getting out of it, at least according to the family we were born into or the culture we were born into. So, our aim is to become completely transcendental. One who engages in Krishna consciousness automatically comes to the transcendental platform, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Who knows that verse? Please say it loudly. Yeah, please give the translation. Yeah, this verse is given at the end of this chapter. This chapter is called the Three Modes of Material Nature. How to quickly jump above the modes of material nature, that is told. Engage in Krishna's service. But what kind of devotional service? Avyavicharini bhakti means ahaituki apratihata, pure devotional service, uninterrupted and unmotivated. Very few people can come to this platform immediately. It is possible but not common. Therefore, the sadhaka or the aspiring devotee is recommended to cultivate the mode of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, he can very easily go up beyond the mode of goodness to the transcendental platform. If he continues to execute devotional service, it's not that simply coming to the mode of goodness in itself is enough. Coming to the mode of goodness means rising early, keeping very clean, cultivating spiritual knowledge. All these activities are in the mode of goodness. So this in itself is not enough to bring us to the platform of devotional service. However, if in the process of practicing devotional service, we also act in such a way that will keep us in the mode of goodness, that will help us. One who is a completely pure devotee, even if he doesn't take bath in a month, he'll remain completely transcendental. Sometimes devotees, they do like that, great advanced devotees. Not preachers, they don't do that, because they have to move in the world. But sometimes, just like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was living in the latrine for some time. Latrine means mode of ignorance. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was living there because he was fed up of people coming and bothering him uselessly. So he didn't become overwhelmed by the mode of ignorance. Rather, he turned that latrine into a place of pilgrimage because he was living there. But the foolish people, they didn't understand that, and he was left alone and he chanted Hare Krishna. But for the aspiring devotee, such activities are certainly not recommended. He cannot maintain his Krishna consciousness in such adverse circumstances. Sometimes devotees for preaching go into very degraded places. For distributing books, sometimes devotees go in slaughterhouses, brothels, or bars. But they cannot go on doing such activities unless they become spiritually strong by following the program of Krishna consciousness very carefully. And if they do this over a long period of time without proper sadhana, without proper association, then certainly they'll become affected. So for preaching, the devotee, he can do anything. But the general standard is to cultivate mode of goodness. Now let us try to understand what is the meaning of this ignorance. Tama. Tamagun means the mode of ignorance. Tama means also darkness. Ignorance means not to see. Pashyan api na pashyati. One who has the ability to see but still doesn't see, he is called blind. Just like this morning we were reading, Andhayatandai rupaniyamanas. The blind leading the blind. This is a very good example. Andha parampara nyai. That if there's one blind man and he wants to go somewhere, usually he would put his hand on the shoulder of someone who can see and that person will guide him. But if the person who is leading him is also blind, then how can either of them benefit? They both fall down into the ditch. So in the same way, one who is blind to the real values of life, one who does not understand what is the proper utilization of human life, he is considered blind. Means he can see with his eyes, but he does not comprehend what he sees with his intelligence. As it is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Ukramantam stitang bhapi bunjana bhagunam vitam vimurhan nanu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshusha. How the living entity is going from body to body to body and enjoying and suffering according to his karma under the spell of the modes of material nature. Everyone can see. You can see everyone is dying. But they don't think what is the significance of this. Therefore Lord Krishna describes them as vimurha, very big fool. Not simple. Murha means a big fool and vimurha means a very big fool. Then how can you see? It's like last night that man was asking, how can we be proved about reincarnation? Here is the answer. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Those who have the eyes of knowledge, they can see. Just like, at least in English, and I'm sure in other languages also, if you don't understand something, and someone explains, then you say, I see. Just like in the laboratory, there may be some scientific experiment, and one scientist takes another in to show him. So he's explaining, he may explain, this is an experiment to devise a new process for manufacturing polyesters, for instance, you know, so using different pressure and different chemicals as catalysts. So the other scientist may see, how does that work? I can't understand. He's seeing the experiment going on in front of him, but he doesn't understand what's happening. Then the other scientist explains, you see, because of this, when this reacts at a lower temperature, then different byproducts are formed, and he explains and writes, shows on the paper all the different reactions. Then the other, his friend says, oh, now I see. Means he saw before with his eyes, but he could not understand with his intelligence. Now it's been explained to him, he can see, he can understand. So real seeing is not simply to see with the eyes, but to understand with the intelligence. And for more subtle matters, that means that has to be explained to us by one who knows. That same example, if you see the sun, you may think it's 1 mile up in the sky, some big floodlight. But when you get knowledge in the school, they tell you it's so big and it's 93 million miles away. Then you become jnana chakshu. You see through the eye of knowledge. So ignorance and darkness, they are the same thing. If one has no knowledge, he's a fool, he doesn't know. He's living in darkness, he's uncultured. But one who has knowledge, then he knows how to live in this world, what is the purpose of this world, how to take the best benefit from life. Therefore, civilized people, they educate. Aborigines in the jungle, they also, how to hunt, how to kill, but very rudimentary. However, the knowledge that does not give us the means to understand what is the purpose of life, how to cross beyond death, that is also all in the category of ignorance. This is another big display of Maya. It's a big tinsel glitter of Maya. Joro vidya jato maya vaibhav tomar bhajane bhadha. Anitya mohajanamiya anitya sangsare jivke kariye gadha. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's conclusion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his youth, was much enamored by Western-style education. And he was a good student in English and Greek. Later on, when he came to understand Krishna consciousness, of course we shouldn't think that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a conditioned soul like us, but great devotees sometimes, they come to this world, they have some leela like that. Anyway, later Bhaktivinoda Thakur regretted his involvement in material knowledge. He said, Jara Vidya means so-called knowledge, knowledge of this material world. What is that? That is Jara Vidya. Jara means dull, dead, lifeless, foolish. Mrityu means lifeless. You're saying in your language. What's that word? All the knowledge, history, geography, physics, science, mathematics, it's all simply concerned with the permutations and combinations of this material world. There's nothing of intrinsic value in it. Because even if you learn all physics, geography, chemistry, biology, literature, art, all these different things, at the time of death, it won't help you even in the slightest. Not even slightly. That story is there, the scholar and the boatman. The scholar was a brilliant exponent of all different kinds of mundane sciences. But he didn't know anything about Krishna. So his life was spoiled. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jaro vidya jato mayar bhaibhav. This material knowledge is simply another display of Maya's opulences. Very gross materialists, they are attracted to bars, brothels, neon lights, fast cars, and all these things. Less gross materialists are attracted to big libraries with many books of mundane knowledge, philosophy, art, science, literature, and so on. But it is all ignorance. Big, big libraries, if there's no information, atma tatma, what is the nature of the soul, it is all ignorance. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nirinang Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Grihishu Grihamedinam. This Shukadeva Goswami immediately informed Parikshit Maharaj when he met him. When Shukadeva Goswami first started speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't start speaking about Gopi Leela. He didn't even, first of all, directly speak about Krishna. First of all, he put everything in focus. That now you have come from the materialistic life, being a big king. What is that materialistic life? It is useless. It is simply discussing on millions and millions of subject matters, which appear to be very important, but they are devoid of knowledge of Atma Tattva. Means, what is God? Who are we? What is our relationship? Therefore, all these subjects simply bind us in this material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the same thing. Tomar bhajane badha. All these different subjects, materialistic knowledge, whatever it may be, it is simply an obstacle to our progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness. This so-called knowledge, shebidda abidda jani, in another place he says, that knowledge, now I know that it is simply ignorance. Moha janamiya, it is the cause for our illusion to be born and increase. In illusion, in ignorance, we are thinking, oh, I'm a very learned scholar. We see some intellectuals, their mind is floating on the intellectual spheres. And they may be very intelligent people, maybe studying quantum mechanics or relativity theory or whatever it may be. But it's all study of what? Anitya samsara, this temporary material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's conclusion is that by such study, one simply becomes an ass. One may think, I'm very learned and advanced and cultured and educated, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my dear professor, you are an ass. The example is not meant for insulting, although it may be taken as such. But it's a very suitable example. Just like you see an ass carries big loads on its back. The load has no benefit to the ass. But out of foolishness, he thinks, yes, carrying this load, this is good for me. This will benefit me because as a result of carrying these loads, at the end of the day, I can eat some grass. So the professor carries mental loads. He has big, big books in his brain. So much knowledge. You speak to him, he can talk so many different things. But it's simply a heavy burden if he does not have Atma Tattva, knowledge of Krishna. It's simply a heavy burden to push him down, 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 down into ignorance. Of course, if a devotee has this kind of knowledge and his attention is properly focused on Krishna, that may be very nice for preaching. Just like it was said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a walking encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. But you can be sure that talking with anyone on any subject, he would come to the point that why are you not surrendering to Krishna? Why are you wasting your life? In other words, he was not enamored by all this mundane knowledge, but he used it in the service of Krishna. In our movement today also, there are some devotees who are very highly intelligent. My consideration, they're just in a different league to ordinary mortals like us. They're also mortal. Anyway, now they're immortal. They're chanting Hare Krishna. So they write papers and they give lectures in the universities. They meet with big scholars. Service is to preach among mundane scholars. I'm thinking about Hridayananda Maharaj, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, Sadaputa Prabhu, Rasaraj Prabhu, and others like that. So they have a lot of knowledge on all different subject matters, and they can explain it, and mundane scholars are very impressed. They're not enamored by that knowledge. They know our point is not to talk all this nonsense, but to introduce Krishna. So that's not for every devotee. Now, everyone should immediately now go to the library and bring out 20 big, big books like this, and now you have to read them all. You bring some big, big books and read them. Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidya Bhagavata Adi. If one reads nothing else, if he reads Srimad Bhagavatam, that will give him all knowledge required to cross over birth and death and love Krishna. Required to cross over birth and death and love Krishna. We should know what is knowledge and what is ignorance. Knowledge means to know Krishna, and everything. And everything. The whole nature of this material world is dark in ignorance, because there is no knowledge of Krishna. What is that? That's Prabodhananda Saraswati says. Andhakaram idam vishvam yadi chaitanya ishva. I can't remember exactly. He says this whole material world is dark, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bring light. That is the. That is the whole purpose of the Vedic mission. Tamasi maha jyotir gamaya. Come out of the darkness, come to the light. Light doesn't mean Brahma jyoti, become merged in nothingness. Light means Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gorodaye Pushpavanto Chitro Shandotamonanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they are just like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaur, West Bengal. The sun and the moon do not arise simultaneously. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda have arisen simultaneously to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. This material world is full of ignorance. Lack means lack of knowledge of Krishna. And especially in Kali Yuga, the ignorance is very deep and dark. I don't know if you have experience, in the Western countries there's electricity everywhere. But if you go to some countries like Bangladesh or India, many areas, there's no electricity. So if you walk at night, in the rainy season, the sky is covered by clouds. It's so black. Even your hand is there, you can't see it. I had that experience that I was waiting that when my eyes will adjust and I'll be able to see my hand. It didn't happen. Completely black. Not one star visible in the sky. So this Kali Yuga is like that. Intense darkness. That what those activities which are most destructive to the human being, they are promoted in human society. Just see how much ignorance. That they think now we are becoming progressive. We throw out communism and now progress. And first thing, McDonald's hamburger. It's very deep darkness. Striptease bar. This is considered progress, modernization, liberalization. Just two nights ago, I was speaking to the mother of a young girl who was devotee. And her mother wasn't so happy about her being a devotee. So I was explaining a few different points. So I was saying that in our movement, she'll lead a very good life because so many young people nowadays, they're taking drugs and in this way spoiling their lives. Yes. So her mother said, well, what's wrong with taking drugs? Nothing wrong with that. This is called darkness of ignorance. That my child should not join the Hare Krishna movement, she should become a drug addict. That will be better. She should be an ordinary girl. Go out at night and sleep with six different men on six different nights, just like I did. Normal. Normal means, normal way of life means deepest darkness, ignorance. So in this darkness of ignorance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Jeev jago, gora chanda vale, koto nidra, jao maya, pisha chira kome. Wake up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. How long will you sleep in the darkness of ignorance? Yes, how much in that tamma? How much in that ignorance? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spread his movement all over the world to remove the ignorance. Remove the ignorance is agyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Agyana timirandhasya. Timira, tama means the same thing, darkness. So agyana, lack of knowledge. Who are we? Who is Krishna? This is blindness, darkness, ignorance. Therefore, the spiritual master, under the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, comes and performs an operation, just like someone has cataracts on their eyes. Means the power of seeing is there, but it has become covered by a growth called cataract over the eye. Therefore, the expert surgeon has to cut that exactly so that the cataract is removed and the power of sight is not exactly restored, but uncovered. It is a very appropriate example. Everyone has the ability to understand Krishna, but that is covered by ignorance. That ignorance has to be taken out, uncovered, by hearing about Krishna from the proper sources. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shardha Kapunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kariye Udoi. Love of Krishna is dormant in everyone's heart. By the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, that dormant Krishna consciousness is revived. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. In this dark, dark, dark Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent Srila Prabhupada to save us all. One time Prabhupada was on a walk with some of his disciples. Often Prabhupada would have his disciples take the part of gross materialists arguing against Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada would defeat all their arguments. In this way, Prabhupada would convince his disciples of the doubts that may be deep in their hearts and also teach them how to preach. So in the course of one such discussion, one of the disciples, taking the part of a gross materialist, said, But I can't understand all these things that you're saying about Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada replied, yes, because you are blind. You have cataracts on your eyes. So you come to me and I shall operate. I will cut the cataracts out. So we are all deeply in the darkness of ignorance. Darkest ignorance is to identify with these bodies. Very big ignorance. That we who are eternal spirit souls meant for dancing with Krishna, we are identifying with this bag of stool and bones and blood. And instead of directing our attention towards Krishna, we are directing our attention how to be happy through the via medium of this bag of stool and bones and blood, which is an impossible hope anyway. That we were reading this morning, durashaya, hopeless hope, hope against hope. We have seen our father has died, our grandfather has died, everyone is dying, and still we're trying to make some arrangement how to be happy in this material world. This is called gross ignorance. So we should take knowledge from Bhagavad Gita as it is and come out of the ignorance. Hare Krishna. Any question? The whole nature of this material world is tamas, ignorance. Mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, they're all actually ignorance. They're all different degrees of ignorance. The mode of ignorance means very deep ignorance, the mode of passion means deep ignorance, and the mode of goodness means that there is a beginning of understanding that which is knowledge. Now, philosophers like, let us say, Darwin and Freud, they may also be called philosophers. But their so-called philosophy is very much in the mode of ignorance, because it comes to completely the opposite conclusion of what is real knowledge. That their conclusion is that life is a combination of matter and we should enjoy it to the fullest extent. So Freud is recommending, have more sex. So as Prabhupada pointed out many times, you don't need a big PhD in Freudian philosophy, Freudian psychology, to come to that conclusion, because the animals, without any philosophy, they already came to that conclusion. Now, other kinds of philosophers or scientists, they're trying to discover different machines and what are the energies of the universe, and especially this trying to make different machines, and this is more along the line of the mode of passion. The creative impulse is of the mode of passion, although many of the machines they make are very much also influenced by the mode of ignorance, because they have very bad result in the world. Big factories, this is all ignorance. A scientist who is, or a philosopher who is trying to understand what is the goal of life, what is the underlying principle of everything, that kind of inquiry, that is more towards the line of the mode of goodness. But real goodness, actually to be properly situated in the mode of goodness, he has to come to follow the Vedic directions for goodness. We can say that one kind of philosopher is more towards the mode of goodness than someone else. But without atato brahma jigyasa, without proper inquiry into the nature of spiritual reality, factually it's all ignorance. Even in ignorance there are different layers. There may be mode of ignorance with a touch of the mode of goodness. But real goodness begins when one follows the Vedic directions for the life of mode of goodness. Rising early, keeping clean, simple diet, endeavor to understand the absolute truth, non-interest in acquisition of material possessions. That's why in this Kali Yuga, goodness is practically non-existent. It may be there in traces only. So that is again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If we have to go through all the stages, first become situated properly in the mode of goodness, we're not going to make it in this lifetime. Therefore, fast process. Chant Hare Krishna and go straight from the mode of ignorance, straight to Krishna Loka. Of course, if one is actually practicing Krishna consciousness, then his behavior will be reflected in activities in the mode of goodness. Any other question?
Can you explain me what is life air?
Life air, that is called pran in Sanskrit. Now, according to Ayurvedic understanding, there is more to this body than what the scientists see. Apart from the gross body, there is the subtle body, and there are subtle airs also. There are five upgoing and five downgoing, among which pran is the most well-known and most important. That means the air which sustains life. When the soul leaves the body, that is carried by the pran into another situation. That in one way of saying, in Bengali language and in other Indian languages, one way of saying that someone dies, it means that they give up their pran. It means the pran leaves the body. So the other life airs are there also. There are different airs which, for instance, control the flexing of the muscles or the twitching of the muscles, blinking of the eyes, and the opening and closing of different holes of the body. There is air in the stomach which helps digestion. That sometimes comes up as a burping. There's the air which assists in the function of speaking. There is air which assists the circulation of the blood and other elements within the body. Downgoing air which helps in the elimination of stool and is sometimes passed out as gas. These are different life airs within the body. According to Ayurveda, that when the life airs become disturbed, disease is caused. This is a technical subject. It's not got very much to do with Krishna consciousness. You'll oftentimes see in Prabhupada's books, it's talked about the life. Means this is a translation from the Sanskrit commentaries that I was saying, like in Bengali they say, when one dies, he gives up the life. Pranaharati, he lost his life. Pranityagharati, he gave up his life, like that they say. So Prabhupada has translated it like this many times. Any other question?
We have a certain karma or reaction that awaits for us, and the only way that we can liberate ourselves is to take this transcendental process from Shankara Krishna and so on. But yet in those same Vedas, in the Karma Kanda part, we have this Ayurveda that told us how can we make our body healthy and so on, cure ourselves. Why
did
this? We cannot do anything because of our karma.
Great.
One thing is, Ayurveda is not part of Karma Kanda. In the Vedic literature, there's Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Upasana Kanda, which are different directions on how to direct one's life. The Ayurveda is Upaveda or supplementary to the Vedas. That may be used by anyone in any follower of the Vedas. That's simply for health. Now, it's not that one cannot influence his future. He certainly can. In Karma Kanda, there is the process of prayaschitta, which means that someone who has performed some sinful activity, he's awaiting the bad result. But if he performs some atonement, such as giving in charity to brahmanas or following some vow of austerities, then he can be freed from that reaction, at least to a large extent. And even if one is destined to have some sickness, if he acts in a certain way, he may be able to mitigate that. It doesn't mean that, for instance, if one takes a certain medicine and he becomes cured from that, that doesn't mean that he gets freed from the karmic result. If he has to suffer a certain kind of karma and he mitigates that by taking a medicine, still he has to suffer the karma in another way at a later point. But the idea is that in the human form of life, we should, as much as possible, keep the body fit so that we can execute Krishna consciousness and get free from birth and death altogether. Otherwise, Ayurveda or any other direction, it's all useless without coming to the point of Krishna consciousness anyway. Anything, even if by performing so many Vedic activities you have a healthy body and you're acting very much in the mode of goodness and all these things, but if we don't come to Krishna consciousness, then it's all simply useless. Dharmas anushtitam pungsam vishvaksena katasuya nadhadiya dhyadirutim shrama eva ikevala. Whatever we do, even if it's according to the Vedic injunctions, even if we lead a very nice pious life, so-called, without Krishna consciousness, it's a waste of time. So the Vedic directions are there, how to live a healthy life, how society can be organized, how to live in the different varanas and ashrams in such a way that we can live very peacefully and nicely. But the real goal is that having made all these arrangements for living nicely, then we should use that to become Krishna conscious and get free from birth and death. Otherwise, even, for instance, if you follow Karma Kanda very nicely and you go to the heavenly planets, then again you have to come down again, you have to suffer again, you may be involved in sinful activities and go to hell. So what is the value? Therefore, the process of Karma Kanda with atonement was rejected by Parikshit Maharaj. He said that even if you atone for your sinful activities, because the desire to sin is in the heart, again you will sin, and so what is the use of all this anyway? Anything else? Translate. That is described by Lord Kapila Dev in the third canto of Bhagavatam. Pure devotional service means avihavicharini bhakti, without any personal desire, and constant. And Kapila Dev defines that when one is automatically attracted to the description of his forms, names, qualities, and pastimes. And there's no personal desire in that at all. That is devotional service in the totally pure platform. Devotional service mixed with the mode of goodness is executed with the desire for liberation from this material world. Devotional service mixed with the mode of passion is executed with the desire for material profit from that service. Bhinnadrik bhavam, he uses the words bhinnadrik. He has a separate vision from that of mine. He's not performing devotional service exactly in the way that Krishna wants him to, but in his own way. He's a separatist. And in the mode of ignorance, one is also a separatist. But he has extra, not very nice qualities. He doesn't recognize other devotees. His knowledge, because he's in the mode of ignorance, his knowledge is very much covered. He thinks that God is in the temple only, and that he doesn't perceive the presence of the Lord everywhere. He thinks that his mode of worship is the best, and he's the only one who knows how to worship God properly. And not seeing the presence of the Lord in everyone's heart, he mistreats other living beings. Just like to give an example, in the Bible, in Genesis, it is said that the Lord God gave dominion over the animals to man. So they have interpreted this to mean that God gave the animals to man to cut their throats and eat them. This is an example of devotional service or approaching God mixed with the gross mode of ignorance. Due to very gross, horrible material desires, he deliberately misunderstands and performs horrible activities in the name of religion, in the name of God. Any other question?
How to determine the...
How to
give up everything what is inauspicious for devotional service.
Just do it, that's all. Don't think about, well, how to do it, just how to do it, do it. Not that you have to stand on your head and chant your japa sitting in the bath or some kind of funny thing. It's a matter of attitude. You just make a decision. All right, now I'm finished with material life, now I surrender to Krishna. So make that determination. Doesn't mean that Maya will immediately surrender. All right. Maya will immediately, all right, leave him. Maya will come again and again and again. Every second, every hundredth part of a second. But that fixed determination we have to have. But now my life is meant for Krishna, I'm finished with this nonsense material life. Therefore, everything we do very carefully with this purpose in mind, how to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the meaning of surrender to Krishna. Surrender means anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam. To accept everything favorable for Krishna's service and to reject everything unfavorable. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso. Not to think that anyone or anything can protect me, only Krishna can protect me. Gotritve varanang tata. Krishna will maintain me. Then atmanikshepa. To dedicate ourselves, mind, body and words in the service of Krishna. And karpanya. To remain always humble and meek. This is the meaning of surrender. So you can read it in the book, you can sit and think about it for millions of lifetimes, or you can do it now. Any other question? Translate? Why not? These things, they've been created by your brain, inspired by Krishna, because you wanted to make a civilization like that. Now we are coming to preach to you, so all those things you have created by Krishna's grace, we'll utilize them properly for preaching the message of Krishna. In this way we will benefit you. Just like this microphone, whoever made this microphone had no idea that this could be used for speaking Bhagavad Gita as it is. But it is being used for speaking Bhagavad Gita as it is. Therefore, the person who made this, he's also being benefited. He doesn't know, but he's being benefited. So, we don't need this. We can also go on preaching Krishna consciousness without these things. But as your whole society is set up like that, we're also living in your society. for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness. Actually, we don't criticize. You want to, there's no intrinsic harm in making these things. But to base your whole civilization upon it, that is madness. If you have such a technological bent of mind that you want to make a microphone, make it, make a few for those who are preaching Krishna consciousness. If you want to make cars, make a few, and those who are preachers, they can go place to place and preach. But to make hundreds and thousands, then it's polluting the whole place, and you have to dig oil out of the sea, and so much difficulty, people spoiling their life, that is not required. One time, Prabhupada arrived at an airport, and the newspaper reporters were there to interview him. So they asked that, well, if you say that all these material inventions like airplanes are useless, then why are you using them? So Prabhupada said, yes, the airplane is useless, but now that I've used it, it's become useful. This is called ajagara vritti. This means the mode of livelihood of a python. Python doesn't make any particular endeavor, but whatever food comes, whatever animal comes past the tree that he's sitting in, he simply drops on it and